Whenever a person adopts a path, a means, or whenever he wants to get somewhere, whether it's dunya or akhirah, then for that, the first thing that we have to consider is effort, working hard. If a person doesn't make effort or work hard, then he cannot get to his end point, his destination or his target, and it becomes difficult for him. So without effort, without working hard, a person cannot achieve success. And for effort, hard work, a person has to give up lots of sacrifices, has to give up a lot of things. So to attain every target, achieve targets, to get to a destination and point, you have to work hard, put in effort. So our destination, our end point, is Allah's love and His nearness, Allah's closeness. So for this as well, most of all, the requirement is working hard, making effort. So close to us, the examples we have that the people have embarked on this journey to get to this destination of Allah's love, to attain Allah's nearness. In their life, the first thing that you will see is the effort that they put in, the hard work that they put in. Okay, so effort, hard work. There's a certain method, a certain way that hard work and effort becomes easy. How is that? Is that if the individual, first of all, he corrects his niyyah, his intention. For every action to get the target, you need an intention up front. You need the niyyah, the intention. So what happens is when the individual makes the niyyah, intention, Allah says, pray salah, make the niyyah. When you fast, keep the niyyah, make the intention. For every action up front, you have the niyyah, intention. So when you make your niyyah, intention, that I want to attain something, then even if it's very hard, difficult path, lots of hardships, looks impossible to achieve that. But if he's made the intention that I will do this, I have to achieve this target, then the determination of that intention, if it's strong, what will happen then? Is that on that niyyah, on that intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help that person then. Allah will assist that person. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult, impossible for a person to get to the target. Looks impossible. So the first thing we need is to get to a target, an end point, you have to make an intention. Don't worry about the target itself, how difficult it is, the route, how impossible it looks. MashaAllah, make an intention for that. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, what a great event that occurred. The fire was set, established, big fire, intense heat. In the hadith is stated that until many miles away things would get burnt, but just to create the fear, that fire was created. But his intention target was to find Allah, to get to Allah, to attain Allah's pleasure. So it was very difficult, physically looked difficult. It was a fire. You could see that visibly, intense fire, big fire. So how was he going to get to the end point? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, these are examples for us, stories for us, that he wanted to go on that path. When you go into the fire, when you jump into the fire, then Allah, that's where you will find Allah. Now you have to decide how you want to do, what do you want to do. So if your niyyah, determination is good, solid, though no worries, I'll fall, jump into the fire, but I've got no choice because that's the only way I'm going to get to my result. These are the examples of the life of human being. On one side is dunya, and one side is Allah Ta'ala's rada, pleasure and love. Look at the example, what a great example we just saw here. So now a person thinks that Oh, to get to Allah, I'll have to leave this, I'll have to leave X, Y, Z, I'll have to do A, B, and C. So here the intention comes in use. If his intention is correct, he wants to get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and he wants that he gets Allah's pleasure, then what happens is that it happens just like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that same event occurred, similar to that. He wants to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was a big fire that was put in front of him, it was a big test. If you put yourself in this fire, this is the route to which you can get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But if you want to save yourself, then fair enough. You won't get Allah's love. So now, he had the intention already that he wanted to get Allah Ta'ala's love, acquire Allah Ta'ala's nearness. So he decided, let me jump into the fire, mashallah. Without hesitation, without thinking that this is fire, it will burn me, and how will I be saved, what will happen to me, I'll burn, I will die. So many thoughts here, shaitan plays his tricks and games that make you weak. You can't do this action. If you do this action in the deen, you will lose these things in the dunya. It's too hard for you, impossible for you. How can you do this? Leave it. And then he gives us excuses that I can then stay away from the action. No. Make the decision that without any hesitation, he jumped into that fire of Nimrud. And even the akal, brains did not understand, intellect did not understand, but this was the right way. So this is the fight between akal, intellect, and love. The clash. Remember this. Akal, intellect, and brains always clash with the love and desire. Ishq, love says, just do it. Just do it. End of story. Don't think about it twice. If you look at the love in the world, we see a man when he loves a woman, he says, just do what you have to do, but I want to attain this love. I'll do what I have to, I'll sacrifice. He gives up lots of things in his life. Yes, all that for nothing. But the person who has the love of Allah, needs the fire of Allah, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of him, he doesn't care for anything then. He sacrifices everything to get Allah's love. He doesn't think, I will get poverty, hunger, hardship, problems in the world, if I do this and that, and leave these things. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Forbidden, halal and haram. That's why Allah Ta'ala created this defining line that this is lawful and this is unlawful. To get to Allah, whoever, whatever Allah has called haram, whatever Allah has defined as unlawful, doesn't matter if you see benefits in it for you, for your life. And if you think, oh no, let me think about it, I'll get these benefits in the world. They are temporary benefits. And this example came to us that without any hesitation, he jumped into the fire. He wasn't bothered, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He didn't care. What was this? This was the love of Allah. The love of Allah. Without hesitation, he jumped into the fire of Nimrud. And this is where the clash of the wisdom was there. The akal, the brain said, no, I can't understand. Why should I jump into the fire? How will I get the benefit through the fire? And you could just think about it to make a decision. Shall I do it or no? If I do this, this will happen. If I do it, this will happen. He said, I'm finding Allah through this. Jump into the fire. No hesitation. Whatever loss I see, no worries. We'll think about it afterwards. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is the path that we are on, my friends. It's not easy. Just Jannah, Allah Ta'ala has made paradise. When we go there, then we will realize what it is. We won't just get it for nothing. So then what happens is that Aql, we don't want to hear, you know, follow the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Aql, Shaitan, overwhelms our minds and brains. So as soon as Ibrahim alayhi salam jumped into the fire, then he is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah is the one who protects. Yes, nobody put the fire out. Nobody did anything. Allah Ta'ala made it like a garden of coolness for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in that fire. And he's enjoying himself in that fire. He was enjoying himself. People thought he's burning in the fire. Subhanallah, he said, this is the fire? This is so cool and calm. So here, what's the lesson we get? That the human being, when his intention is correct, that I want to get close to Allah, I want to get near to Allah. Isn't it? So it doesn't matter if big challenges come in your life, big hurdles, obstacles, and they will come. Tests will come. That's why I stated that the path of Allah, the test will come. Whatever challenges come, hurdles, barriers in your life to stop you practicing, big hurdles will come and tests will come on the way to Allah. If really you have a strong niyyah, intention clear, what's the second benefit? That Allah Ta'ala immediately helps His servant, the human being. If you want to leave, if you leave something haram, unlawful, and you see that, oh, how will I eat now? How will I earn now? How will I pay the bills? How will I buy a house? How will I do this now? I won't get these things. Lots of different plans in dunya will come in front of you, but everything you will get, the solutions that you see is through haram, saving on tax, lying, deceiving, committing fraud, tricking people, and doing wrong actions, and taking loans. You see these all solutions towards prosperity. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the dunya. But if you leave all of these things, and you'll get a loss, apparently, in the world, the nafs will say, no worries, yaar, just do it. You know, you pray salah, you're a pious Muslim, you do dhikr, but remember this point, that dhikr won't give benefit, nor will salah give benefit, no action will give benefit to a person, there's no effect of it, no impact. Salah will be thrown back on the face, dhikr will be a waste of time, everything will be a waste. The company of the shaykh will be a waste. It doesn't work at all. All of these things work when you have the pure intention to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, am I saying? Is it right or wrong? So if you're sitting doing dhikr, ongoing, all night, all life long, do dhikr, sohbat, company of the shaykh, doesn't matter. No benefit. Nothing at all. The person whose intention is correct, his niyyah is correct, he, subhanAllah, will not go towards that route that is away and against Allah Ta'ala's path. You will never see him embark on that path, travel along that path. Even if he's taking loss upon loss in the dunya, and he bears all the losses, he sacrifices the dunya. And he says, I'm not bothered. I won't do haram. I won't go towards the unlawful, illegal things, I won't lie. I'm not going to do fraud. I'm not going to cheat people. I'll die hungry. No problem. Why? Because he's got fear. His intention is strong and clear. So what will be the benefit? The same as like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, immediately Allah Ta'ala's help will come. Yes? Those things that you're afraid of, this will happen, the world was making you scared. Nothing will happen to you, inshallah, in the world, whilst you're living here. Nothing will impact you or harm you, and you'll pass the test successfully. If there is somebody like this whose niyyah intention is strong, he wants to get close to Allah, he will never then, due to the circumstances of the world, his life, he will not leave Allah's path. Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And then he doesn't leave Allah's path because his niyyah is strong. When his niyyah intention is strong, then what will happen? That definitely somewhere or other during his life, Allah Ta'ala's help will come to that person. Allah Ta'ala says, if I can save Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam when he's in the fire, then can I not save you? This is the case, isn't it? But as Allah says, I will keep on testing you, challenging you. And just how the noble companions, the Sahaba Ikram, they had events in their life, big challenges that came. They were hung, they were beaten. Yes. Really severe conditions in their homes, destroyed. They said no, the Sahaba. Each Sahabi said, I want to get close to Allah. Young person, he comes into Iman, believes in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, true mu'min. And he tried to hide his Iman, to protect himself. And his uncle found out. So he said that, I can see you're changing, your life's changing. He said, yes, I have changed. That's it. The whole family went against him. His mother was against him. His father was against him. Everybody, they made, took his clothes off, made him naked. And they said, go run away from here. Get out of here, they said to him. And he said, doesn't matter what happens, but I will not leave the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that condition, he was on a journey, traveling, he arrived to Medina. When he went to the company of the Prophet ﷺ, he sat there. And here the reminder for us is that just one example this is. Allah has given many examples. Why? What does this mean? So for us, these examples will be useful for us to learn from. That person who makes in a clear intention, if you make intention for the dunya, Allah says, I'll take you towards the dunya, the world. World, material, houses, cars, and wealth, and money, and this and that. And tricking people, deceiving, doing this game, this fraud, and this deceit. A person lives his life like that. Status, titles, he wants recognition and fame and money and dignity, honor, respect. This is not respect, dunya. No respect at all. Respect is that Allah Ta'ala, if he respects a person and loves a person, that is true respect. Dunya, whether the people in the world love you or not, respect you or not, consider you as good or not, he doesn't care. The individual doesn't care. So this, remember this point, that first of all, the human being, the believer, if your intention is clear and strong, then all of your deeds will reflect your intention, the good intention you've got. And when those deeds, those actions of yours, when you do them, when you implement them, then within that, in the practice, you will give him the effects and the impact that will take him to the destination he wants to get to. So if your niyyah is strong, solid, and he considers or she considers that through the dhikr of Allah I can get to Allah, and this is the fire that I have to jump into, and through the path of dhikr, I'll give you an example, there are hurdles in your dhikr, lots of challenges and things preventing you, stopping you, but you stay steadfast, then this is the path through which I won't reject dhikr, I won't leave dhikr, and through this action, because his niyyah was clear and strong, what does Allah Ta'ala do? Allah puts impact and effect in his dhikr, and Allah's love then comes to that person. So when that person does dhikr, and through his dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's love is generated and developed, then in other words, Allah Ta'ala has helped that person, in other words, and such a difficult path it was, has become easy for that person. Dhikrullah doesn't take a person to the success. Dhikrullah doesn't take you to the destination. Dhikr is a deed. It's a means. But what gets you to the end point is your niyyah, your intention. Do you understand the point of all this, what we're discussing? One person doesn't have the right niyyah, the right intention. He adopts the action of dhikrullah, but he doesn't have the intention to get close to Allah properly, near to Allah. Then by doing dhikr, he will get no benefit at all that he can get close to Allah. Here and there, he'll get benefits. People say he's pious, he's a good person, he's devoted, they start respecting you, he starts to make money, he starts to accumulate wealth, and he becomes a false peer or sheikh, and he starts hosting dhikr and showing to people. But, with regards to the dunya, maybe he gets benefit from the action, but he will not get the benefit from Allah. He will not get the benefit from Allah. Every action, there are two parts to an action. On every action you do, or deed, there are two parts, two sides. Either through that action, that deed, that person, that he will go towards sin and wrong that takes him far from Allah. Or through that same action, if the niyyah is correct, he goes towards the direction that takes him close to Allah. He sat in dhikr. Everyone's saying he's doing dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. He's come for dhikr. He's come to remember Allah. That's what he's doing. He's immersed in dhikr. But if his intention is correct, then all of those actions, he will stop and prevent himself from doing that are necessary for doing dhikr. Say subhanallah. And if he makes intention, then Allah Ta'ala will help him, and he will leave, it will become easy for him to leave the wrong actions, the bad actions. And those things that he feels there's a danger, I will get lost here, then what will happen is there will be no loss to him. Because Allah Ta'ala's help comes to that person. He doesn't care about the dunya or losing things in the world, material things. He just starts, embarks on the path. Any wali Allah in the history of Islam, if we look, we think that he did lots of mujahida, all night long they used to stay awake, recited this many Quran, they used to fast in the day, they used to pray tahajjud in the night, subhanallah. That's what we think. This is not the case. Sahal bin Tasbi, great wali of Allah. And I remember this event. He said that that to leave the wrong actions during the day, those actions that stop you getting close to Allah, is better than thousands of tahajjuds. Subhanallah. Why? Because that ibadah, worship, there's dunya that you're looking for. There's nafs, there's your desires. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, in that ibadah, worship that you're doing, like tahajjud, is your nafs, your desires, dunya. You're doing it to show people. Although tahajjud is a great ibadah, great act of worship, but we have spoiled that ibadah. We have spoiled it. If really tahajjud, I'm praying to get close to Allah, I'm trying to seek Allah's nearness, then in the day, I would save myself from sins. You understand? Look at that. Yeah? So if his niyyah was not to pray tahajjud to get close to Allah, his niyyah was, I want people to see me that I'm pious, I'm good, and I'm a worshipper, I'm devoted, I'm pious. So such big acts of worship, great acts of worship, become zero for that person. A zero impact, zero benefit. Yes, you'll see, you can open Darul Uloom, institutions, people are studying, children are studying. What is your intention behind that? Do you understand what I'm saying? What's the intention behind opening this institution? If the intention is true and good, then subhanAllah, then you don't need a big building. You don't need a big building. You don't need a big classroom. Even a few people are there and you're teaching the Quran to them, alhamdulillah, they will give you they will become big hafiz, great hafiz. That person who does hifz, the nur, the light will spread from that person. The Quran, the nur of the Quran is great. Today there are so many huffaz, they will be sat here. But the question doesn't arise that nur will spread from them, rather oppression will spread from them. They laugh, they look at these hafiz, he does this sin, he does this sin, he has nafs overtakes him because intention wasn't there. So we as parents have desire, I want my child to become a hafiz, an alim, a scholar. But what's your intention behind that? Do you understand what I'm saying? The building, we should have the foundation strong, Allah's pleasure or the dunya. From both we have to select one, and you make your intention. If your intention is dunya, benefit in the world, then all your actions, even ibadah, worship, will take you towards the dunya. The biggest thief he will be. The person who does umrah, does hajj, he'll be the biggest thief. The one who prays the hajjud, and then he'll be the biggest thief. The man who stands in the first saf row and he gives adhan and prays salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the people, in the eyes of the world, he's a big Sufi, alim, scholar, and they'll see all his external lifestyle and be impressed by it. Because he does all those deeds through which a person can find Allah. But his intention is wrong, so he won't get benefit from those actions, rather he'll get dunya in replacement. Understand what I'm saying? So just one deed, if you do it, it takes you two ways, one deed, one action. Can either take you towards Jahannam, hell, or Jannah, paradise. As Ibrahim alayhi salam, I'll give you the example that just came in my mind. So when the fire was established, Allah Ta'ala showed that, then all the animals decided that, Ya Ari is the beloved servant of Allah, let's go and blow on this fire. The animal said this. Let's extinguish this fire with our breath. They had love, isn't it, for Allah. So they said, let's try, we'll blow on this fire, blow. So everybody started to blow on the fire with their breath, you know. The frog, it blew. The frog, it blew his breath. And the lizard, even that blew onto the fire. The lizard. And both are blowing, the lizard and the frog, for which purpose? To blow the fire out. I'm giving the example, a brilliant example. The frog is blowing onto the fire to extinguish the fire. And the lizard is blowing on the fire with its breath to blow out, to extinguish the fire. What was the difference in their blowing? That the lizard, his knee intention that I will make this fire more intense through my blowing, so that it spreads. So, because he had hasad, envy and jealousy inside the lizard. But the frog, he was sincere. The frog was sincere, and his intention was to blow the fire out, to extinguish the fire. So Allah knew the knee of both animals, the intention. That the lizard, subhanAllah, that with the lizard, the big sins will be forgiven until Qiyamah. Yes, you know this, isn't it? That the lizard, that for example, what's the reward for killing a lizard? That seven kabira sins are eliminated. and the frog is being prohibited, that don't kill the frog, don't beat the frog, because it's a sin. So one is the deed, one action. What's the deed? One, both of them are blowing on the fire. But how do we know that why they're blowing onto the fire? Allah knows the intention though, isn't it? Dhikr, both people are doing. One is doing dhikr to earn the dunya, and one is doing dhikr to earn the hereafter. Both are praying salah. Hajjah is being done by both. Ibadah, worship, both are doing. Both are becoming scholars. Both are becoming hafidh, qari, two people. But what does he want to gain from these actions? What's the intention behind his effort? Understand what I'm saying? So niyyah, intention, the underlying intention of an individual, if his intention is correct, that I want to get to this end point. And the second thing that I'm explaining to you is be very difficult, like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, it will be very difficult to jump into the fire. So in your life, when big hardships surround you, when you make any intention that I want to get to this end point, that the very difficult, hard thing in front of us is the love of Allah. Everything we will take in the dunya, big things will take, and will take all of us. If I take a bit of dunya, I'll get everything. That's what we're told. And the work that is the hardest today, yes, wadridwanullahi akbar, Allah says, that Allah's pleasure and Allah's happiness is the biggest objective for a person to achieve, which is impossible on the outside. Outwardly, it's impossible. If we look at, think about it, because the surroundings to attain Allah's pleasure are very hard. Allah's pleasure is surrounded with such hardships that to get to Allah's radha and pleasure is not easy. Ask Hazrat Bilal, Hazrat Khubayb. Yes? Ask any companion. Hazrat Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah, ask him that look at the journey of Taif. That in the life, the Prophet said, I have come here to give that lesson, that I haven't come here to teach you ibadah, the worship, I've just come here to give you a lesson. Imam al-Anbiya, the lesson he wanted to give to us is that the duty of the human being is servanthood and to acquire Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And that's not just restricted to the masjid or the prayer mat. Deen, where do we find Allah's pleasure? Allah's happiness? It's very difficult. Outwardly, look what events occurred in the history, and look at the high achievement of the people. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the most difficult day for me was that day, Taif. And he was the final Prophet, and he wanted to prepare his ummah, his nation, his followers. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what we learn. So my colleagues, my brothers, the insan, the human being, through his deeds, his actions, you can realize that what is his niyyah, intention. Nobody can judge. You don't need to look at people, assess, is he honest, he's false, he's doing dhikr or not. Automatically you can find out through a person's actions. That same deed, that same dhikr can make you a munafiq or disbeliever and drag you into hell. That same dhikr, that same umrah, that same hajj, the same khilafah, being a deputy. What does it all depend on? Tell me. What is it? Do you understand now the point? What does it all depend on? Success? Niyyah, your intention, your underlying intention. If your niyyah is correct, foundation is correct, these are those deeds that will then take you to Allah Ta'ala. These are those deeds that we do that will take us to Allah. The same tahajjud, the same salah, the same dhikrullah. Dhikrullah is for this purpose that it takes you to Allah. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, fast speed, there's no other path that can take us, me, you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the express train, dhikrullah. Dhikrullah is the express train. Do you understand express train? High speed train, no stopping, non-stop. This is PIA, that immediately direct it takes you, no stops on the way, no transit in PIA. So everybody likes to travel with PIA. PIA, why are you going with the internet PIA? Because it doesn't stop, it directly goes to Pakistan. I like myself, when I travel, to go by PIA, that direct flight. Oh yeah, it's dirty, they don't give food, the seats are warm, but it says at least we'll get there quickly and this distance will be reduced, the time will be reduced. In the same way, those who want to get to Allah, they say, Yaar, this is a direct flight, grab this flight now, this action. is direct to Allah. Good dars today? Good dars, eh? This is the dars of Ramadan, mashallah. Yes, so remember these points I'm sharing with you, okay? Write them down, note them down, the alims for the people. Write them, make notes, and I will print them. I will print them for you, inshallah. So if you write them down, record them, give them to me, I'll print them for you. All the thawab will continue for you. These words will not come again. This discussion will not come again. Very good discussion, mashallah, we've had today. So those people are destroying themselves, that they have no reliance in Allah, no trust in Allah. They say, I want to get close to Allah, because there's dunya in their life. They are earning dunya through this path, through this amal, through this action. They're not getting the end point, the result, the success. So dhikrullah is a great action, it's a very great shortcut to get to Allah Ta'ala. Great shortcut. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum is end of story. Allah says, you've remembered me, I'll remember you. When this is the connection based on you remembering Allah, what else is left after that? Tell me, what else is left? What else do we need to achieve? Why? Because dhikrullah is such an action, immediately it purifies you within. It purifies you. Soon as you're pure, Allah's brilliance, magnificence, greatness comes in front of you. Because of your purity within. The reason for purity is that on our heart there are veils, there's darkness, there's dirt, there are impurities. We can't see Allah's greatness. As soon as a person makes a niyyah, I want to get close to Allah, he sits on that PIA, Pakistan International Airlines, a short, direct flight to the end destination. But no stop in between, no transit. But again, what's your intention? If your intention is strong, I want to find Allah, get close to Allah. And then you start to do dhikrullah, then there's no other action that can, there's no deed that can get you faster there. Nothing can stop you then. That's why the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, when we go to them to take bayah, then they will not prescribe to you any other action. I'm talking about the Naqshbandi order, all the other orders as well, salasil. When you go to the shaykh, most of all preference, the first deed that they teach you is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Why? No speeches, no tabligh, no hadith, no reading, no lectures. They don't say anything to you. Do this, listen to this, do that. Nothing at all. The Naqshbandi order, immediately the shaykh puts you into muraqabah. Morning and evening come and just keep on doing dhikr. Your niyyah will be correct. Then you have found Allah. You have found Allah. If there are futur and there is contamination, then you'll just sit down all your life and nonsense will come to your mind. And you will have weird thoughts during dhikr if your intention is not correct. Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So here, what we need to understand is that here it's not told to us that Allah Ta'ala hasn't stopped us doing those actions which give us comfort. For example, you have a nice house, or you have a nice car, or you have comfortable living, good clothes for your children, respectful, clean life that you're living. Allah has not prohibited this. Allah has prohibited this, or told us to refrain from those things, those actions. Everything you will get in the world, Allah Ta'ala says you'll get for this reason, so that you can fulfill your needs and necessities. But don't be worried about receiving these things in the world. Don't adopt the haram, unlawful path to get the necessities of life. So to make your life improved and comfortable, none of your salah should be left, no order of Allah should be denied, wajib, sunnah, nothing in your life should be rejecting Allah's orders. You should give preference to those actions through which you get close to Allah. Then what does Allah Ta'ala do? That little bit of hard work effort you make, Allah Ta'ala gives you a comfortable life to assist you on that path. Yes, and more, Allah Ta'ala, He does this. You don't need to open shops. Let me do that business. Let me earn this as well. Let's travel there. Let me get this as well. Let's phone that person. He doesn't bother for that. That person. Yes, he is comfortable, has a comfortable life. He doesn't work too hard. Allah Ta'ala's help comes to give him comfort. Understand what I'm saying? So it's not prohibited that don't live comfortably, don't live in luxury and have nice things, but you won't go all out in life without too much burden on your stress on your life to get these things, or by compromising Allah's ahkams to get the dunya. No, rather your preference will be that I want to present my deeds in the highest level to Allah. Just like, for example, I don't get up in the morning because I have to go to my shop. I delay salah because I have to do work in the dunya, etc. How much of your life has passed like this? Your whole life has passed like this. How much have you earned? All your salah is qada, delayed, and the money that you've earned is in the bank, and you die, and what benefit do you get for that in the hereafter? What have you got for that? Yeah, you're just going to leave the bank balance in the world, isn't it? And die. And there will be impure children who will spend that money. And they will send all of that lana, curse on you in the grave. All the punishment will come to you in the grave. All those other punishment through that money, the actions that those children will implement, they will do wrong actions and sins in the world, and your grave will be filled with other punishment that you left this in the world, in the dunya. One practicing, aware, alert, wali Allah, if he leaves a hafid, Allah will fill his qabr with nur, with the light. Yes, because he left inheritance in the world, proper inheritance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, we should think that we are alive. Why are we living here in this world? What are we doing here? What's my objective? There's a reason for my living, isn't there? So my brothers, what's our objective? Purpose, whatever you leave, that will give you benefit when you're in the grave. If you left salah, if you lied, committed fraud, deceived people, made money, put in the bank balance, eventually you're going to die. Eventually we're going to die. Where will that money go? It will go to your children, distributed, because they're already sinful. They don't know about salah, they don't know about good deeds. They are immersed in the dunya, drowned in the dunya. So when you die, then that money will come into their hands. And when that money, wealth will come to their hands, then what will they do, mashallah? All the actions they do, then their children do that. And ongoing, continuous until Jahannam, hell, that will become a source of your punishment. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a curse, because that person's intention was not correct in life. He did not select the intention to get close to Allah in his life. He didn't select that path. He didn't have the objective. And how fast the life goes. I've seen so fast the child is born, give adhan, the same child I've seen grown up. And then he gets married. The child's got married. This is speed of life. I've seen children growing up with speed. So fast, I see the people's children, they're born, then they're growing up, their children, then their sons, daughters. Oh, this child came just a few days ago that you said that they were born, some years ago. Very quick speed. Look, today is the fourth, fifth fast today? We don't even know. This is the case, isn't it? Every day the fasts are passing, we don't even realize what day we're in. So why are we alive? We need to think, are we alive for this reason that when we die we get punished? Is that why we're alive? So think, comfortable life, the necessities of life, they are there. Of course, we need them. Okay? But, to attain that comfortable life, the efforts you make, the work you do, what should that be? Those deeds that are within the boundary and the circle of Sharia. Yes? To make your dunya more, to extend it, amass wealth, waste time, leave salah. And by rejecting the deen that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, those who want to get to Allah, even for them, nafal prayer is a great, or nafal action is a great thing. Because through nafal, they get a prostration. And in a prostration, Allah Ta'ala says, whoever prostrates to me is close to me, gets close to me. Yes, so due to nafal, extra voluntary prayer, he doesn't go towards dunya. No, I have to go. I don't want to open my shop yet. I need to pray 2 rak'ah salah. No, I don't want to sleep. I can't sit here because I need to open my shop. I can't do this. And the whole life a person passes like this, he amasses the money, hoards it, and after dying, that money goes to his children. And then their actions through their sins, he gets the curse. These were the children who you worked hard for. These actions you did, these wrong actions, these sins, for the sake of money, for wealth, for funds, and you have made your children, you maybe in the world, you've set them. Say subhanAllah. Oh, my child, he's set, you know. He's got this, that person's got this job, this son's got this job, my children have got the house, and we're very happy when we see them materially comfortable. Why? Because all our deeds, my niyyah was dirty, my niyyah was impure, my objective wasn't to find Allah, to get the close to Allah. So the first thing for a believer is that we should make an intention that I want to find Allah, I want to get close to Allah, I want to get near to Allah, and Allah, I want Allah's pleasure. Number two, to get Allah's pleasure, this is the hardest task in life. It's not easy. Oh, just pray salah, you'll get Allah's pleasure. Or do umrah, you'll get close to Allah. All of these are dramas. I'm telling you the truth. The lizard or the frog. The lizard had the bad intention, the frog had the good intention. This is the same story. Millions of people are doing Umrah, and one from all of them will be the frog with the right, pure, sincere intention. Do you understand the frog? The example I give to you, story. One person from millions of people doing Umrah will have the right intention. His intention will be to get Allah's pleasure, true pleasure. His style will be different. His living will be different in Makkah, Medina. His residency there, his living there, his staying there, his du'as. Otherwise, everyone says, as ashik, everyone who's living in Medina, they say they're ashiks. Oh, yaar, I live in Medina, this barakah, this blessings, all the drama. Big, big adab they're living in, punishment. Every person, niyyah is to earn money, dunya, and he uses everything that Allah has given for dunya with fasting, hajj, dhikr, shaykh, bayah, pledging allegiance, sohbat, company of the shaykh. He's using for the dunya. And it's in front of you, you'll see that his dunya is made, he's earned dunya through that path. So in other words, in the world a person becomes wretched because he leaves such children, and all the fire will come to him in his grave in Jahannam due to what he's left behind. Yes, the children don't want to pray salah, they want to pray in congregation, they have a desire. In front of him, he's seen that. And afterwards, when he leaves, subhanallah. How many hafiz or alim, scholars, qaris, you have children. And if you do that for the dunya, first of all, present, oh look, here's my son, he's a hafiz. Oh, these are my children, they're hafiz. I'm telling you what people do, they show off their children in the dunya. If you want to tell them, then tell Allah. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, due to my children, please forgive me, and that's why I'm making him a hafiz. And then do tarbiyah, you develop the children, coach the children. Opening Darul Ulooms, Islamic institutes and charity and donations, always we're doing this, this many children, that many children graduating. Why are you worried about that? The quantity, the number of children. Who told you to open Darul Ulum and run around hither and thither earning and collecting money? What's that you're doing? Don't take bad what I'm saying. Why? Because the intention is of the lizard and one is the frog. And the action outwardly is very good. Outwardly, Hazrat Mulana Rashid Ahmad Gohui and Hazrat Nanotvi Sahib, they opened, they opened, didn't they? But when they opened, they opened. Today you see the beautiful, fresh fragrance and the gardens of the fruits of what has come from there. What great graduates have come from there. What has been created from Darul Uloom Deoband, tell me. And since dunya came and started to collect money, then those people, they are not graduating, the same sincere and great people are not graduating from there now. They're stopping them. Apart from thieves and criminals, nothing, nobody else comes up. Yes, who hide the deen. But when the intention was correct, Niyab Hazrat Mulana Qasim Nanotwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he didn't ask for charity, collections. There was no brick building or beautiful building. Nothing. My Hazrat Sahib, that Khanka, the eye attain development, and millions of people are learning from that. What was that? The Hazrat Sahib would come with it. He realized I'm about to come. He would leave. He left his village when he knew that I was coming. I'm telling you the true story here. That even today, these actions occur. Even today, the awliyaullah, they are created and developed. And until Qiyamah, this deen will be spread through that route, that practice. Dudini was amazed. The Hazrat Sahib, how comes he's left his village? He's leaving his village. And his village from decades and decades, centuries, great mashayikh, waliyaullah used to come to that village. Hazrat Saharanpuri came to that village, Hazrat Sahib's village, my Sheikh's village, and stayed there in that era. And he left the village, because this was the order of Allah, that a person's coming, you must do his tarbiyah. Develop him. Train him. So Hazrat Sahib left his village and he came and he saw, he took a house next to the street, to the pavement. And on the pavement, what was there? People used to throw their rubbish. And I'm telling the true story here. True story. And they used to dump all their rubbish and dirt all of the town. The dirt they used to throw there. You believe it? Right next to the whole city, it was the dumping ground. All the trash and the rubbish that accumulated in the whole town, they were dumped there just next to Hazrat Sahib's house. So Hazrat Sahib got the land there for his house. And he said, there's anybody who can clean this place for me, all this rubbish. Clear it out for me. The darvesh, they cleaned the place. MashaAllah. All that place, the dumping ground was cleaned. And then Hazrat Sahib said, they put a wall around here. Now the khanka of the fakir is being made now, MashaAllah. And what a beautiful point is, the fakir made it apparent that I, subhanAllah, that individual who that can purify dirty ground, then can he not purify the dirty people? He's showing this, Hazrat Sahib. Demonstrating this. What a great hint he gave, great advice and learning, that from years this was a dumping ground and urine and excrement and all the rubbish of people's lives, and the fakir cleaned that, sweep that, cleared it and started dhikr wala there, and the most dirtiest of people that will come to me in my company here, will I not clean that person when we establish a place here? This is the company of the Shaykh. So he cleaned that land, all the dirt was removed, then Shah Sahib, mashallah, I think he looks after that khanqah still. May Allah Ta'ala give him life and health. He was a true attendant, great attendant of Hazrat Sahib. So, Hazrat Sahib said, Shah Sahib, azan chaadu. Give azan. And he said it in his dialect. Give, we say in Siraki, bang. Give azan. Bang chaadu. Give the azan. He said, four walls we've made, the boundary, and he didn't, there was no proper ground, or you could say tiles, whatever. He gave azan. Three, four people walking past, they came inside, and the Salah and Jamaat congregation started. Hazrat Sahib, Subhanallah, would come out of his hujra and he started to lead the salah there, Jamaat. The Wali Allah, Arif Billah, is leading salah and people are praying salah behind him in that newly established place, the Khanqah. And whoever prayed salah there once then would come again. It wasn't a small thing, in it, to pray salah behind a Wali Allah. Yes, they prayed salah. Then they start coming again repeatedly. And the Maghrib time came, then Hazrat Sahib, in that same place, sat down, closed his eyes and took his blanket over him. And four or five people were there. They sat down as well. They didn't know what was going on. And the muraqabah started. Meditation started. In other words, until Maghrib, that became a khanqah. Became famous. Well known. The Wali Allah, the khanqahs being made there, people started to come. And I saw with my eyes all of these things. Those same four walls, the boundary, first it was a dumping ground, then the boundary was made, then the four walls, and the Wali Allah sat there from the production. That's where I went, that's where my tarbiyah and development took place, and I'm sat in front of you now. So now, I think, it wasn't even a week that the khanqah was established, and only, you know, the rubbish had been cleared, and one or two adhan had taken place, and I went from here, and because there was a fire passion in my heart, and I went straight there, and I arrived there. Hazrat Sahib was sat there in that place, said, you sit down as well, and sit down with me. Tarbiyah, Hazrat Sahib gave my tarbiyah and said, go, you do this work of the deen as well. Fakir came, and there was no khanqah, nothing. And I started dhikr in my home. 7 days, mashallah, my whole house people started to gather in my home to do dhikr, just the same way. After 7 days, on the Thursday night, and in my room, people came and gathered for dhikrullah, when nobody knew me from those people. Within a few short space of time, my khanqah, the first khanqah, was established here. See that? You're witness to that. Why? Intention was correct. My Shaykh, he taught me everything. He gave everything to me. Why? Because he said this student's intention is correct. He wants to live the right life. He has the love of Allah. He wants to find the love of Allah. What was the sign? That he's rejecting the dunya. He's leaving Europe. He's leaving his degrees. He's stopping everything. And for that action, he's stopping all those resources that Allah Ta'ala dislikes, those actions. And he's jumping into the fire. Like Ibrahim al-Islam, I was degraded in my family. And you could say they thought I was mad. He's leaving the dunya. He doesn't know about his future, his career. He went to the UK to study. He's discarded all his hadith. Where will he eat from, earn? My whole family was dunya dar. They all said, I'm mad. His brain's gone upside down. What's he started doing now? And here, what's being told on that side? The Hazrat Sahib, subhanAllah, I'm thinking other people are mad at the same time. And I'm doing dua for other people. That Allah give them consciousness, understanding. Lamraka. Allah says, oh my Mahbub, I swear by your age. Allah says that, subhanAllah, the intoxication of the dunya has overcome these people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Allah, they are intoxicated by the world. Take that intoxication away. And that's the work of the Shaykh, that he removes the intoxication of the dunya from his students. The dunya, when you're intoxicated, overwhelmed by dunya, this house, this shop, this business, let's do this, these cars, assets, there as well, here as well. The Shaykh removes that love of the dunya from the student. Say, subhanAllah. And when that intoxication of the dunya is removed, then subhanAllah, he gives the beautiful alcohol of Allah's marifah, Allah's the purity of the deen, he gives to the student, the Shaykh's teachings. And then that student enjoys the life, the beautiful, pure life. Then people say he's mad. Don't go near to that sheikh, he's a magician. They used to call me a magician. Don't go near to him. Don't send your children to his company, to his khanqah, people would say. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So all of these words we've discussed, the reason, my friends, is that correct your route, your pathway, leave the drama life, leave the fake life. Allah doesn't like fake life. Either you'll become the lizard with the bad intention. Allah says that if you kill this lizard, then seven kabira major sins of yours I'll forgive. So don't become the lizard. Don't become poisonous. Don't become the frog, like the frog who was sincere in the intention. Become like the frog who was sincere in intention. And then Allah's mercy will come to your life. Allah's fadl will come to your life. His grace will come to your life. His bounties will come. So we learn, it's not a great achievement to come to dhikr. You get two results from dhikr. And it's based on your niyyah. Either you'll go towards kufr, and you'll go towards haram, you'll go towards jahannam, or definitely your intention is clear and pure, and you are getting closer to Allah through that same action. So what's the sign? The sign is this, that if you're going towards Allah, then in your life you won't do those actions that are wrong. You won't get wealth that is wrong. You won't earn money that's wrong. You won't take the resources that are wrong. You won't leave the inheritance after you, children, that would be dangerous for you. Then you'll give it a sadaqah, a way that I will not give these things to my children that they will utilize them incorrectly. Yes, this will kill me in the grave. I won't give this away to me. I'll give in sadaqah, charity, instead of giving to my offspring. This wealth is making me leave salah, a shop, a business. Here's Ramadan, dhikr of Allah is happening. I'm stood in my shop, my business. What am I getting? Khairu wa abaqa. Allah says your hereafter is excellent. Your hereafter is better for you than this dunya you're stood in. So stop this shop. Close your shop now. Stop your work. Yes, for the whole of Ramadan if you have to close your shop, your business. Yes, this is called jumping into the ocean of love for Allah. This is your yaqeen. That person, subhanAllah, after Ramadan, if Allah's giving me wealth now, will He not give me wealth after Ramadan? How much will I enjoy in Ramadan? Due to this dunya, my dhikr is going, my praying congregation is going, my kabirullah is going, and I'm just stood here running after money. I've got everything. I've got bank balance. I've got so much food that 3 days, even if I don't work, then I can still survive. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. What excuse do you have, me, you? Why? Because you have to jump, you have to migrate without any hesitation. As Ibrahim al-Salam jumped into the fire of Nimrud, the lover, he will jump into Ramadan, the person who loves Allah. End of story. Ramadan's come and I'm working now. Dunya, and I leave Salah and I drive taxis. All my life I've done this wretched actions. 30 days I've got now of Ramadan, and I leave the gatherings of dhikr, which is the majlis of Ramadan. You have no determination. Why? Because the niyyah is not correct. The intention is not correct. We want to live and die like dogs. Allah has called these people dogs. Yes, because their mouths don't close. Their tongue is hanging out, dripping. Such that due to the dunya, our salah is discarded in Ramadan. Yes, if you've got a valid excuse, you're sick, you're unwell, and there's a lethargy, there are excuses. If you're really tired, exhausted. But intentionally, purposely, you are leaving salah for your children, your wife, for your house, for dunya. 30 days, your shop of the world should be closed. Don't bother. Don't run after it. Ramadan will not come again in my life. I have to make my Allah happy during this Ramadan. Every woman and man. It's not just enough. You've kept the fast, you stood at your shop, your salah is going, praying congregation is going, dhikr is going. What benefit is there in your fast? All you're doing is getting hunger, and you're dieting, and you're just... That's all it is. Yes, lots of women, they do dieting in fasting month, Ramadan. With this niyyah, they fast, they say, I'll diet, my weight will be lost. And I've heard that from many women. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes, so jump. Allah says, jump into the deen. If you want Allah's love, then jump into Ramadan. Jump into Ramadan. Leave all your shop, your dunya. Leave your work, your employment, no shop, no business, no trade. No, I don't want to go towards these things. If it goes, if I lose it, but I don't want to do these things. So the hands and feet tremble. Oh, my shop will close down. And you don't come to Fajr, you don't come to Salah. Oh, I can't get the sleep, I can't get the sleep. I've got to go to work, I've got to work. Oh, servant of Allah. This morning, will it come again? This morning we're sat in now. Will this gathering of dhikr come again? These words, will you be able to hear them again? Huh? Tell me. Do you understand what I'm saying today? The discussion? Allah Ta'ala, to find His nearness, you have to leave something in, then you will find Allah. You have to sacrifice something, you have to sacrifice to get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Allah wants this. Allah wants this as well. If Allah didn't want this, then why would He ask us to sacrifice? But He wants to see how much will my servant give up. Subhanallah. That, mashallah, the light is there, the candlelight is there. Does the moth come here or where does he go somewhere else? That's the test. I don't know if you understand this verse. I was saying that there was a person who lit the candle. You know, you understand the candle? The light, the candle. He lit the candle, somebody, near to his face. Then he said, I'm so beautiful, this candle is also beautiful. Now let's see, which side does the moth go to? You understand that? Where will the moth go? You know, the moth is like a small insect. I don't know in the English, what do you call it? The parwana. And we see it dies on the, it loves the light, attracted by the light. Yes? And it loves the light so much, it loves it so much that that moth, it flies around and it gets burnt by the attraction of the light. That's how we should be as well, isn't it? He loves so much the candle, the light, that he burns himself, the animal, due to the love of the light, the attraction of the light. He loves it so much, that when he sees the light, he starts to first come, attracted, then he gets burnt in the light. So, this person said that I will put the candle here, somebody who is handsome, and also my face. Let's see, the moth, the insect will go here to the light or to me, my beauty. So Allah Ta'ala has given light on two things. One is Allah's love, and one is the light and the love of dunya. Allah says, let's see, the lover, does he go towards the dunya, or does he give his all for Allah? Understand the example here? Understand the example? So this person, does he love the dunya, or does he love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? Allah's created nur in Ramadan. Allah says, let's see who's the true lover. Does he stand at his shop, business, or does he take Ramadan? Understand what I'm saying? So the false ashik who says he's a lover of Allah, why do you become false, deviated? We are false, lying, innit? If we were honest and true, then in Ramadan would we leave salah? And we would not arrive to congregation? And we'd waste time? No. So the lover of Allah, he says, I love of Allah, Ramadan will not come again. I have to sacrifice my time, my efforts for this Ramadan. I have to do the good deeds. Anyhow, Allah Ta'ala's love is acquired by sacrifice. A person doesn't think twice. And the people who are deviated, they run after the dunya. They scarper towards the dunya. Allah Ta'ala knows he's doing the same action, it will take him towards dunya, or he's doing the same action, I'll bring him towards my qurb. It depends on your intention, your foundation. Do you understand now today the subject? Yes. So this is, my friends, for this reason. It says, so many years I'm doing dhikr, so many years I'm sat down doing dhikr, I'm not getting any benefit. Yes, I come regularly, nothing's happened to me, improvement. How much have you sacrificed for that endpoint? Some people say weird things. That why didn't you make me like this? Like Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani was made. Why wasn't I made like Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah? Why were they pious? Why am I not pious or made like a good person? Look how shaitan makes us think deviated. Why wasn't I made pious? Why wasn't I made a sahabi? Why am I in a hard time? So, then some people say that why wasn't I Nabi? They go to that extent. Subhanallah. Anything you are, whatever you are in this dunya, everyone has the capacity and the ability and the guts. Allah has given this to everybody, subhanAllah. Every believer, Allah Ta'ala has created with the nur, the light. Everyone has the nur inside us. Allah says, you can acquire my love and my nearness. It depends on you, O believer. How do you utilize that quality I've given to you? Allah Ta'ala said, I created the human being for this purpose. I created you, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ. What does that mean? أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Allah said, I created the human being for ahsan al-taqweem, the excellent status. Allah says that the birth of the human being, coming to the world, from birth I instilled into him the quality, the strength. Look, unts, what does that mean? Insan, unts, insan. Insan comes from unts. Where does he come? Unts is the love. It's love, isn't it? Yes, so Allah Ta'ala said, I created the human being with this nur that you have to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your purpose of life. How much do you utilize that ability that Allah has put inside you? And you use that ability to run after the dunya. The love is there. The passion is in there inside you, determination. But you're determined now to get dunya. But when really you want to get close to Allah, then he goes towards Allah's love, that person. So then why do you blame other things? That if you go towards Allah's love and his deen, then you have to leave those actions that Allah dislikes. Most of all, what Allah dislikes is what? Dunya, the world. Yes, and we love that the most. And that's false. He is a false person, he's a cheat. And that same thing in his dunya, you'll see it keeps increasing, multiplying, progressing, advancing. But you won't see deen advancing. He doesn't even know what is dhikrullah. He doesn't know. Yes, what are the effects of dhikr? What is latifa qalb, latifa ruh? He doesn't know anything, just knows the name, that's it. So my brothers, my colleagues, if we correct our intention, after intention, alhamdulillah, then we should adopt those deeds through which Allah Ta'ala is, and nearness is attained. Don't look, is it too hard or easy? No, then just jump into that deen. That I need to attain, and I will not bother about anything else, and then sacrifice your time, your efforts. May Allah Ta'ala, to all of us, make us a true and solid Muslim. That is the definition of a Muslim. These are the people of Iman. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. These are the people of Iman. Yes. Yes, and Allah Ta'ala speaks to them and addresses them in the Quran. Do you understand what I'm saying, everybody? Understand what I'm saying? Whoever liked what I said today, please put your hands up. Whoever understood, mashallah. Okay, that's good. All brothers are sitting, are Darvish, and their name, one person, his name is Darvish, and everybody else is Darvish as well, mashallah. So become Darvish, find Allah's nearness, life is short, temporary, Ramadan has come, then use Ramadan for the purpose Allah has given us Ramadan. Allah has given Ramadan for sacrifices, leave food in the morning and drinking, leave everything. Leave dunya, and where should you come to? Come where I am calling you, Allah says. Come to my dhikr, come towards my remembrance, come towards my salah, come towards congregation prayer. How dare you if you stay in your shops and business and you're thinking about going. That person in 1 year, you could not accumulate wealth, you can't make in a month, let me tell you that now. Rather, curses will come on you. That person leaves salah, congregation, and Ramadan in a normal situation in Ramadan. He's leaving the salah. Then that person, may Allah forgive that person. Yes, and he counts money during Ramadan. What a big jamaat we have, big group. Yeah? In Bolton, is just this many people in Bolton sat up Fajr? Where's everybody else gone? Where's everybody else gone? Where? Where are they? Tell me. Are they disappeared? So who are those people? They are the lizards. They're not the frog, mashallah. The intention. Do you understand the difference? Yes. Why will they come from their beds and their bedrooms? They have no need. They say, I'm Naqshbandi. I've got the imama on, the turban on. Where are all of them? Just think about these people. Where they will be. If there's a person who is Naqshbandi and he wanted Allah's love, subhanallah. Then if I give ijazah now to everyone, that everybody, wherever you are, that you can all come here, you will see from London's, from such places, people will come and gather here. Because they are the frogs, they're not the lizards. But here, those who live in this town, and they see their circumstances externally, the dunya is very nice, they've gone towards dunya. Allah says, go, earn dunya, acquire the dunya. There are big cars, nice houses, shops, businesses, trade, warehouses, respect. But when the dhikr of Allah is in the morning, they won't arrive there. Say subhanallah. That's it, it's in front of you. These are the signs of the human being. His deeds will show, reflect what he is. There'll be hafiz, there'll be qaris and alims and scholars, everyone, but they're not here. Dunya for the world, they'll give up everything. Yes, they have the desire to get high in the dunya, to be imam and to be on the prayer mat in the masjid, and they want to stand on Jummah and give the khutbah. The friends of Allah don't have these desires. They have these desires. He says, I'm even capable. How can I do this work of the deen? Lead the people and etc. Apart from his defects, the wali Allah doesn't see anything else. He says, I'm not capable. I'm not. And subhanAllah, they jump away from that responsibility. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So it's clear you can see in a person's actions what the person's intention inside. In the dunya, that leads to Jahannam. Never sincerely will we explain to our children, we'll be scared that I don't want them to become pious and the job will go, the employment will go, he'll do this job and he'll leave this job. They're scared. Tell the truth to their children, their offspring. Yes, they don't even explain to them properly. They don't even try, make effort. That we should try so much for a child for the salah, that just like your child is about to burn in the fire, to save the child, you're trying. This is called trying. So the child, even if it's dirty, if there's a fire in the house, the father and mother won't care about themselves, they'll try to save the children if there's a fire, the house is on fire. You'll try this, won't you? You'll take their hand and pull them out to take them out of the room, get them out of the house is on fire. Don't you know what Allah Ta'ala said? Ku anfusikum wa ahlikum nara? Oh, creation, why don't you take your children out of the fire? Don't you have yaqeen that the children will go there? Yes, because your niyah is not correct, your intention is not correct. Otherwise, a father and for the children, he tries so much that just like you are saving the children from a real house fire, that how comfortable can he be when the children are not practicing? Why are you not worried about their deen? Children, they don't care, the father doesn't care, material, dunya, money. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So whatever stops you in the path to Allah, that's all a test, a challenge. Take them away from your life. Remove them. Say, no, I can't do this action. I have to get close to Allah. If the dunya goes, let it go. This is the path of Allah. I can't do wrong. If you don't want to do it, then, subhanAllah, take your own home. Don't show me your face. I have no connection with you. This, mashallah, these are the people, the rich, who want to find Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That house, if there's no salah, the people are not praying, tell me, then what will be the hal of that place? That the Prophet ﷺ said, I want to set the house on fire where they're not praying salah. The children don't pray salah, the daughters are not praying salah in the house, the women folk. Ramadan, it's Ramadan, that's it. Quickly prepare for Ramadan and we'll make shami kebab, si kebab, samosas, biryani, and we're all working hard to cook food. There'll be no dhikr in that home. There'll be no fikr. Concern the same fikr, did he open the shop today or not? Did he do this action or not? Did he go to work or not? Did he earn money and maal, wealth or not? Even here we'll be worried that, you know, the child is in another country, we'll phone the child in the other country. We won't ask that, did you do ibadah, worship, pray taraweeh, do you leave taraweeh, did you hifz of Quran? We'll say, did you go to work, my child? Or have you gone to work? Have you been back? Did you do this? Did you earn this? Did you acquire this? Did you amass this? Did you make this dunya? If a child is in another country, we'll ask this on the phone. Am I right or wrong, tell me? We have concern for dunya, worry for dunya, and that's it. So let's correct our niyyah, our intention. This path that we have adopted is very dangerous, my friends. And one moment tells us, every moment tells us where we are. We can assess ourselves, analyze ourselves all the time. That where am I going? So this is the reason that dhikr doesn't give us benefit. Our salah doesn't give us benefit. Because the benefit that's been given, salah gives this and this and this and dhikr gives this. Why? Because we're just doing this action empty like a box for the dunya, not for the hereafter. If we have the intention for the hereafter, then many sacrifices we have to give, an effort we need to make. Out of the box sacrifices we have to give, without any hesitation. We're not doing it for anybody else. Just jumping into the fire, like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, for the hereafter. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that I love you. He said to his sahabi, he said, then ready. One sahabi said to the Prophet, I love you, O Prophet of Allah. He said, get ready. Now, not shops won't come, houses won't come, but whatever you've got already will go. Your dunya will go. Do you understand? Get ready now for the hardship. I want to take bayah, I want to take bayah. Students say, I want to do tawbah, repent. Why are you doing drama, student? Do you know what's going to come? What difficulties? Please give me bayah, Shaykh. Please give me bayah. What concept is there of bayah nowadays? I don't understand why people are just jumping up and down. Give me bayah. Bayah means be ready. Pledging allegiance to the Shaykh is your connecting to Allah. It's a big test. Get ready for that. Whatever you've got already in the dunya, that will go. That money you'll have to assess it. What's halal in this? What's haram? If it's a haram portion, take it out. Every penny, do hisab. Whoever you have to pay, give the person back. Yes, the haram that you've earned, then make the accounts and do your hisab proper. Balance it out. Sift through it. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, a person came to Hazrat Mulana Shafi'i Thanvi Sahib, said, give me bayah. He said, you will do the bayah? Fair enough. But after taking bayah with me, what will you do then? He said, I'll do dhikr adhkar. He said, you don't do bayah for dhikr adhkar. First and foremost, what you need to do, that the rights of the people that you broke, Hakuk Allah, higher than Hakuk Allah is Hakukul Ibad. The Hakukul Ibad, the people whose maal, money you've eaten, you've done fraud, you've cheated people, go and assess and make your accounts balanced. Then come back to me to take the bayah. This was the Sheikh. Mashallah, he was quite a rich person who came. That person wanted to be a student. He said, "Oh, this is very hard, difficult." He said, "It's hard. You think to get Jannah is easy? That the action you've come to take bayah because you want to get paradise. Bayah, pledging allegiance, what does it mean? What does it mean? Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Mumtana, "Oh my Nabi, take promises from these sahaba of yours that they will not do shirk. They will not ascribe partners to me. They will not steal. They will not do criminal actions." So, subhanAllah, that's what I'm saying. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said, those people you have to give the money back to, do your hisab and clear your balance list. He made a list and he was such a rich person. He went and knocked on the doors. "Yaar, how much money?" He said, "Huh? How much do I have to prepay to you?" They said, "What's happened to you?" This one, he said, "Whatever, one and every penny, every streetway." When he repaid the money, he came back. He said, "That subhanAllah, I don't need bayah now. I've got found Allah automatically." Allah, we said, "Jazakallah khair." The Shaykh in advance made me do the action that he enlightened his heart. He said, "Such a big burden has come out from within me that 100,000 years if I did ibadah, this burden would not go. All ibadah worship I did it with burdens. People were swearing at me, ridiculing me, mocking me. I used to take the rights of people and I used to be a cheat and deceive people. I took loans out and I was doing ibadah, I was doing haram and I was doing the deeds. It was a burden in my heart, on my head. But Hazrat, I didn't do any ibadah worship. I fulfilled the rights, repaid the rights, and I'm very light now. No burden is left in me." Subhanallah. Does anyone do like this bayah today? Give bayah, give bayah, give bayah, take bayah. What bayah do you want to take? What allegiance are you pledging? Oh, you are my sheikh, my teacher. Yes, and especially women. Yes, do dua for this person, do dua for children, do dua for my dunya and Pakistan women. They pester so much. They don't know that what is the objective of bayah, getting a teacher. Just if we go to the peer, go to the sheikh, that's it, and all your actions, your affairs will straighten out in the dunya, you'll become successful in the dunya. Everything will be straight, but you should be straight first. Then your affairs will straighten out. So when you've taken bayah, the meaning of bayah is that make everything correct, hakukul ibad, the rights of the society first, ask people for forgiveness. If they don't forgive you, leave them. But ask for forgiveness, give the money back totally, clean your accounts, lighten your burden, then take the hand of the sheikh. Will you find Allah or not? Tell me then. And subhanAllah, we're doing all the wrong haram under the sun. We come here and move, hasab, give me sabah, give me lessons, give me dhikr. We don't know what we're doing. Don't deceive yourself, my friends. Don't deceive yourselves. Become human beings. The grave will come. Big adab will come. And the ribs will overlap each other in the grave. So tight will be. All the lying and the cheating will all be unraveled and exposed. Just be one color. Leave the two-faced life. Leave the two-faced life and become one-faced in your life. One-dimensional. That's it. These faces that we've brought about on top of us, the different images and forms, leave all of them and just become one. What is that color? Sibghatullah. Allah says the color of Allah is the best color, the best way, the deen of Allah. Adopt that in life, embrace that. And your bayah, assess your pledge of allegiance, look at your actions. How did I take bayah? Totally a waste of time, my life. And the sins are accumulating on my head. Lying, fraud, deceiving, breaking the promises. "I'll give it to you, I'll give it to you. Tomorrow I'll give to you, tomorrow to you. I don't have it. How can I give the money back to you?" What's nonsense and rubbish we talk? We lie. Don't know people, we earn so much and we have so much ourselves. And then we take more money from people on top of that. What benefit will we get with that? And what we're spending? And those disobedient children who for us will become such a sadaqah that in your grave they will fill it with fire. Right now, they've already filled it with fire. You don't have a need to go there to burn. They've already put there every day, morning, evening. Those people who don't come, whose children have not come to pray salah, and those people who haven't come to rest, their cupboard, their grave is being filled. They're making your grave. Those children in your house who have left salah, all of that sin and the adab, the punishment is going into your grave because you kept on giving them bread and food, chapati and clothes. You're not strict with them. You don't remind them. You don't ask them that, did you pray salah in the morning or not? In your life, the first of your day in the morning, all your life long should be with salah. So me and you, oh my children, our connection is salah. Have you prayed salah in the morning? Do we ask that? If a child lives with you, under your custody, and you're ignoring that, they don't pray salah, then subhanAllah, are you responsible for that child? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to ask this with a question. If a person is not living with you, don't know where your child is in another house, lives with his own children, then that's his own life or her life. different. But those children are in your custody, living with you in your room, they sat here, there. Then what's your connection with that child? What's your love relationship? Weird relationship that will go after the punishment. First, you get ready for the punishment. You're the biggest munafiq, hypocrite. That one disobedient child that sat in your house in front of you every day, and you're loving that child and giving money and wealth, and used to fulfill all the needs and the requests of the child. I said, you come first, O parent, O father, let me first straighten you up. Yes, you are rearing a serpent, a snake in the house. This is the deen. When a person's afraid and he says, Allah, let me do tawbah, repent, then he repents to Allah. Have we done tawbah like this? Have we repented like this? Is this the tawbah in our lives? How many rights are upon our heads? How many wrongs we have done? Please don't do this. Don't try to deceive Allah. All these things I tell you clearly, openly, what is the deen? Truthfully. So I tell you clearly, openly, that don't live a life of deceit. I used to do dhikr, I wore the turban, I have a beard. This is not the deen. This is not the standard. The standard is inside. How much are you content? How much are you practicing the deen? That I have not committed fraud, I have not done wrong, I have not cheated anyone. In the dunya, I'm totally zero with regards to dunya. Whatever Allah gives to me, I work, I run my business, I drive taxi. Whatever Allah gives is halal, is pure. I spend that money and I fulfill my needs with that. And I make my life comfortable with that wealth. And with that halal, I buy a sofa, we sit on that sofa. Whatever things I have, I bring them with my halal earnings, and alhamdulillah, Allah fulfills our needs. And when we get the money and the salary, we get the shopping, we put the food in our cupboards, and we don't worry if we don't have more than that. So is this easy or is that easy? The other part of life, the other way of life. The person who takes bayah, then he comes onto the simple way of life. Allah has not prohibited a comfortable life, but not through haram and unlawful means. That we're trying so hard, that all Allah's rights we're breaking, we're trying to earn the dunya by breaking Allah Ta'ala's laws. Salah's gone, fast gone, Ramadan's gone. Ramadan, this great unique time. And we're amassing, the bank is full of money. Pakistan, India, we have properties, lands. By Ramadan, we don't want to leave our business, our shops, our trade. We're leaving dhikr. We're leaving salah. We're leaving jummah. We're leaving ibadat, worship. But we don't want to leave the dunya. What's the difference then? What's the difference in taking bayah, in becoming a student? What's the difference? What's the benefit after taking bayah with the teacher? Is there any difference in your life? Enhancement in deen? Well, we should see, if you take bayah, your life should transform. Step change. Should be a step change in your life after bayah. The whole life changes upside down, not by telling people, say, Yari, he's changed. He's a good person. He's sincere. His akhlaqs become good. His manners have become good. His basis criteria of life is one, hubbullah, bughdulillah. That whoever he loves, it's for the sake of Allah. Mother, wife, children, household. He will love everything and everyone for the sake of Allah. Ahabbalillah wa abghadalillah. Love for the sake of Allah. Oh, this person is my enemy because he's Allah's enemy. I love this person because he loves Allah. And Allah loves him. This definition, when there were battles, the Sahaba, they didn't see that who is the son. He knew that he's the enemy of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, so the sword was ready to go. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was his son, Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu. And he said, Abaji, you know, once you came under my sword in Badr, and I left you because you're my father. And Abu Bakr said that you are fortunate you didn't come under my sword, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. Subhanallah, Abu Bakr Siddiq said this. Is there anyone like this? Tell me. As Ibrahim alayhi salam was shown the dream that slaughter your son, cut his neck, his throat, and the son was ready already. My father, is your knife sharp? And pierce it here. Subhanallah, the father and the son, the father had love for the son and the son had the love for the father, because both had love for Allah. They wanted to fulfill the order of Allah. That is the basis criteria of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Give your all for the sake of the love of Allah. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I seek forgiveness, I took your time, but I had to eliminate my weaknesses. I'm an extremely sinful person, and for your islah I speak, and I didn't want to speak bad to anyone. I've taken my own defects out. I'm not looking towards anyone else's defects. See the truth. We are all the same in one boat. We're traveling. And if somebody else's defects, and you've heard that today, take yours out. Don't think that I am highlighting them. Because in front of me, all of you are ghawth and kudab, pious walis of Allah sat. I'm telling the truth. Yes, mashallah, you're honorable people for me. You come here, you do dhikr, and you wear imama, sunnah, libas. So I don't tell you what to do, but you should assess yourself inside. That, mashallah, you're all honorable to me. You are great walis of Allah, friends of Allah, and I'm hopeful that you'll be in Jannah in the same way in paradise, all of you. But you must assess yourself and analyze your life, not me. Yes? And I'm hopeful. I don't have a telescope. I don't have a magnifying glass that I can scan my friends and look at the defects. I look at the good things in my friends. And I look at you with love and affection. And positive thoughts with the thought of love. So how will I see your defects and your sins or errors? These are just words I'm sharing with you that the pious predecessors I heard from them, that the individual, the student should continue to assess himself. That do I have these mistakes, these errors, let me eliminate them. And the rest I'm hopeful that mashallah, when I see you, I'm happy, I'm proud of you, because I've got a good jamaat, a good group of students, mashallah. And just like I'm hoping and feeling, may Allah make you like that. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Very clear. Don't think I'm telling you off or I'm identifying you or targeting you. No, I'm targeting myself. I'm speaking to myself. This is the best time Ramadan, best time in the morning after dhikr is to speak to myself and assess Allah's rahmah, mercy is coming down. So for Islah, I shared some words with you for our rectification. That mashallah I heard from the pious elders, I'm sharing them with you. Alhamdulillah. But you are pious, good people. And I can see, if you see any bad or errors or darkness in your life, then clean it, because you should do your tazkiyah daily. Otherwise, it's a big loss. Big loss if we don't correct ourselves now. Sariul hisab. Wattaqullah. Inna Allah sariul hisab. Correct yourself now whilst you're living in the world. Allah says, otherwise, very soon I will reckon and take your accounts. So what does that mean? Wattaqullah. Straighten yourself now. Open your book of deeds now whilst you're living and breathing, and balance your sheets. And open your kitab, open your book of deeds, and assess yourself and correct yourself. Now, otherwise, Allah says, very soon you will come to me, and then I will assess you. So Allah says, وَتْقُلَّا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلُّ الْحِسَابِ. And Allah's hisab, when He reckons, when He accounts, Allah, our ears will speak, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, everything will speak in the Day of Judgment. It's better we assess ourselves today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts the veils across our sins. Allah doesn't destroy anybody. Remember this. This is Allah's glory. This is against Allah Ta'ala's justice. Allah is putting the veils in front of us. Then don't consider that you're good. That Allah Ta'ala has put the veils between us and reality. Otherwise, if Allah removes the veils and makes us truly apparent, then we'll be destroyed. So we become big-headed. I'm pious. Nobody knows I'm sinning, doing wrong. It doesn't make any difference. Let's just carry on doing what I'm doing. Allah is not unhappy with me. He's given to me. Nobody knows I'm doing wrong. It's fine. That because Allah has hidden our errors and mistakes. So don't be big-headed and think you're guaranteed success. It's Allah Ta'ala who's hiding our defects. Maybe now He'll come to the right. Maybe now He'll come to the right. Okay, fine. Let's do muraqabah now, meditation. Let's close your eyes. Pay attention to your heart. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we ask Allah the nur, His light in our hearts. Make a niyyah intention, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that your brilliance, your magnificence that you gave to the heart of our Shaykh, with your fadl, your grace, with your blessings and with your mercy, Allah, that same nur and brilliance and tajalliyat, Allah, please allow that to come into our own hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah grant us all the spiritual light and benefits that you gave to my Shaykh through the mashayikh of the Naqshbandi order, through all the mashayikh. Allah, allow that to come into my heart and all my lataif, my spiritual lessons and points. After that, then do dhikr of Allah.